Good morning, everyone. My name is John Wells, and it's a real pleasure for me to be here today to break bread with you, to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord's people. And also, I'm looking forward to this week, which I plan to spend at the teens camp. And I feel a very warm welcome, and I genuinely appreciate that. Before we open the scriptures, I'd just like to speak to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we bow again in your holy presence, and we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the tremendous gift of eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And Lord, I just pray that these few minutes that we spend opening the Word of God, I pray that the Spirit of God would lead us. I pray that our hearts would be convicted, encouraged, and brought closer to the Lord. And Father, if there's any in this gathering that do not know the Lord Jesus and are not yet saved, I pray, Father, that you would speak to them through your word and draw them by the power of the Spirit to know what it is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life. And so, Father, I just pray that you would open our hearts and focus our thinking and search us, we pray, as we look at the scriptures together. And we ask your blessing, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. I'd like to read in the Gospel of John and chapter 3. John chapter 3. I got a couple of slides that I'm going to get just to pull up here in a minute. I'd like to read a familiar verse in John chapter 3 and verse 36. Today, I want to speak to you about the gift of God, which is everlasting life. John chapter 3 and verse 36. It says, "He who believes on the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides or remains on him." The gift of God, everlasting life. We're going to read chapter 4 in a second, but before we do this, I want to ask you all a question. What do you have? What do you own that's going to last forever? Just think about it. I would say to all of us here today, there is nothing that we own in this life that's going to last forever. Houses that you live in, your RRSPs that we just heard about, finances that are in the bank, they've all got an expiry date. Cars that we drive, businesses that you own, operate, or manage, they're all temporary. The very bodies that we live in are temporary. They have an expiry date on them. Just like the yogurt in your fridge that says expiry date. God knows how long we have. And the resources that God has given us, they're all temporary. You know, it's beautiful to drive across Prince Edward Island, especially this time of year. Those fields are just absolutely gorgeous. But I thought about it yesterday because I read this verse in Hebrews that says, the very creation is like a garment that God is going to roll up. Everything as you see it today will be changed, but God remains. And unto the Son, he says, your throne is forever and ever. And so the things that are seen are temporary. Things that are not seen are eternal. I want to speak to you today about something that is everlasting. It is eternal. It is the most valuable thing that any person can have. And it's the gift of God. It's eternal life. You got it right here. I think those words were written for me today. That's awesome. The gift of God is eternal life. Let's read in John chapter 4. So here's this remarkable story. You can go to the next slide. Yeah, you're there. Here's this remarkable story about this woman of Samaria. We'll break in at verse 3. It says that he, Jesus, left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must go through Samaria. I want to speak to you today about going through Samaria. Then he comes to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being weary with his journey, sat by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. You know, he is the great engager. We're going to come back to that. Give me to drink. His disciples were gone away into the city to buy food. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that you, being a Jew, is asking drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I love this. Jesus answered and said unto her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says unto you, give me to drink, you would ask of him, and he would give you living water. That is the greatest gift, living water. The woman said unto him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where do you say that you'll have this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle? Jesus said unto her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. Whoever drinks of this water will continuously thirst, the greatest thirst. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But that water that I shall give him will be a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus says unto her, go call your husband. Immediately this woman's mind is likely racing. Go call my husband. The guilt of the past. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband. The woman said, I have no husband. Jesus said, thou hast said well, I have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the one who you have now is not your husband. Thus sayest this truly. The woman said unto her, to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. We'll drop down to verse 25. The woman said unto him, I know that when Messiah comes, who is called Christ, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. This is the grace of the present. Messiah has come. I that speak unto thee am he. Verse 28, the woman left her water pot. I think she dropped it. And she went her way. She ran into the city and said to the men, come see a man. Told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and they came unto him. And you'll notice their reaction. They also believe on him. And in verse 40, so when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, but we have heard him ourselves, and we know that this indeed is the Christ, the Savior of the world. I want to speak to you today about the gift of God and how to share it. I want to speak to you about personal evangelism. And I love this story that the Lord Jesus told and is recorded for us in the scriptures of his experience in going through Samaria. Going through Samaria. That little phrase caught my attention. You know, it is now a must that he had to go through Samaria. If you look at Matthew chapter 10, you're going to get a completely different story. Because Jesus sent out his 12 disciples and he said, don't go into Samaria. He said, don't go into these Gentile cities. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Give them the gospel. Why is that? Because the gospel first came to the Jews and they rejected him. And now, the gospel has gone out into the entire world. And so now Jesus must, an imperative, go through Samaria. You remember in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus was ascending, he said to his own disciples, you shall be witnesses of me, starting at Jerusalem and unto Samaria and the uttermost far corners of the world. Take this message and go into the world and share Christ. What an incredible experience the disciples had. You see, the Jews didn't like the Samaritans. They didn't like them. They didn't want to associate with these people. They were defiled. They didn't have a pure lineage. They'd corrupted themselves. They were idol worshipers. And so Jesus is teaching his disciples something in this passage. And he's telling them that now the mercy and the grace of God is extended to all. Go into all the world and share the gospel. You know that people have done statistics. I don't have much weight in what I hear for statistics, but what they say is 2% of evangelical Christians actively share their faith and witness on a regular basis. 2%. Do you think that's true? It's a pretty low number, isn't it? Jesus is exhorting us to go into Samaria and share our faith. Could I encourage you with something today? Don't be so separated that you are isolated from your community. I think that happens sometimes, where we get so separated that we don't want to be defiled, and we actually remain off on an island in our own little world. Jesus says, go into Samaria. This is your Samaria. We're passing through Samaria. Right here, right now, our life, this is Samaria. I would encourage you today to live purposeful, intentional lives. Get up every day, you young people, and say, what does God want me to do today? Who can I share the gospel with? Who can I reach? Intentional, purposeful lives. Jesus must go through Samaria. You know, this world that we live in, it's a broken world. It's dark. And I'm sure that that's not a surprise to anyone. I want to share with you an experience that I had Friday, August the 3rd, just last Friday. As probably some of you know, I'm involved in a street evangelism work, and I go out in the streets and I give out tracts and share the gospel with people. And I've done this for a while, and there has been some amazing experiences that I've had. So it was about 11:30. Streets were just crowded with a bunch of people. There was the buskers on. It was a lot of stuff going on. And I saw this girl, and she was kind of hanging around at Parade Square. And she had a lot of tattoos on her face and piercings, and she had dreadlocks. She wasn't really clothed very well. It was a warm night. And I just noticed that she had a black eye. So I walked up to her and I said, "Did you get one of these?" I give these little cards out. It's the gospel. The track says, "Do you know him?" She took the track and she said, "I don't know him, but I know about him." I said, "What do you know about him?" She said, "Well, I know he's supposed to be God's son, and I know that he died on the cross for our sins." Wow. What else is vitally important? I said, "That's so interesting. What's your name?" She said, "Katie." I said, "Katie, how do you know that?" And this is what she said that grabbed my attention. She said, "Well, I went to a Bible camp for 10 years. Wow. Here I am coming over here this week to go to a Bible camp. And this investment of time and resources that you guys pour into these kids is life-changing. It is an eternal seed that is planted that never leaves the heart of a child, follows them all through their life." She said, "My parents are Christians." She said, I went to church all my life until I got in a fight with my dad and I left home." And I said, "What happened then?" She said, "Then I got into some stuff." And she said, "My life has been a living hell ever since." She said, "I'm homeless." She said, "I spend the winter in the woods." She said, I live with my boyfriend who abuses me. See my eye?" We thought about compassion today. And you know, like, when I think about this dark, broken world that we live in, there are so many hurting souls out there that need the gospel. And so briefly, I just started to share with Katie the gospel, and she started to cry. I said, "Why are you crying?" She said, "My life is dark." I said, "Jesus is the light of the world." And do you know what she said? She said, "I've lived so long in the dark that I'm scared of the light." Wow. Isn't that true of unregenerate souls? You know, it is the same truth that we're going to look at here with this woman of Samaria. Because Jesus goes to her and he engages her in a conversation. I see that so many times in the life of Christ as I read through the Gospels. And I'm encouraged to take the initiative and engage in a conversation. Sure, it's uncomfortable, I know. Initially, people respond very similar to the way this woman of Samaria responded. Do you know what she said? "Why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. You don't have any dealings with the Samaritans." Do you know what she was really saying? She's saying, "Go away, God. I don't want to talk to you right now. I don't want you." And what is so unfortunate but is reality is most people that you want to give a tract to and share the gospel, their initial response is, "I don't want that. It's religion." No, it's not religion. It's eternal life. It's a relationship with God. And initially, on the surface, just like this woman of Samaria, she doesn't want to talk to the Lord. He's the great engager. Do you know why he's such an engager in conversation? Because he infinitely knows every thought, every word, every action that every single one of us have ever done in our whole entire life. The almighty eyes of God looks into this woman's face and he says to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's speaking to you, you would ask him. He would give you living water." He is the great engager. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know Him. Not just know about Him. God wants us to experience this eternal relationship with Him right here, right now. And it's just going to grow for the ages of eternity to come. He engages in our lives. And we do well to engage in other people's lives. I could tell you many stories of many people that the gospel has reached and changed their entire life. It's an awakening of the soul. Folks, we are body, soul, and spirit. And to be totally fed and satisfied in the inner person, you have to know Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus Christ, there is no satisfaction in this world, this life. There's no satisfaction in business. I can tell you that. There's no satisfaction in finance. It's just an endless game. There's no satisfaction in pleasure. It's short term. It leaves you empty. But when you know Jesus Christ, you have living water. You have eternal life. You have satisfaction in the soul. And let me say this. That's what this world needs. They need Christ. They think they need everything else but Christ. This world needs to know Jesus Christ, and what a pleasure it is for us to be passing through Samaria right here, right now. Your life, your world, kids that you go to school with, people that you work for, people that you sit beside on a plane, your mechanic, your baker, whoever you deal with, it's the world of Samaria that we can take the gospel out into and affect their lives. You know, it was Paul's desire to really know Him. You might say Paul never got over that. As a mature believer, he writes Philippians chapter 3, and he says in verse 10, "This is my longest desire, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship with His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I press toward the mark." The yearning of his heart was to know Him. He's the great engager in our lives. But I love what the Lord Jesus said to this woman. If you knew, if you only knew the gift of God, this living water. Do you know that in Luke chapter 11, I believe it is, he says, "You being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more our Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of Him." God has a gift, the Holy Spirit. And it's like living waters. It's like a fountain. Jesus said in John chapter 7, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." It's so awesome to have the gift of God. If you're sitting here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got eternal life. You got the gift of God. And you will never perish. And it's everlasting. You don't pack it in when you go into a coffin and go through the article of death. No, you take that with you onto the other side. Jesus says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." "Yeah, I know, at the resurrection." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live forever." The gift of God, eternal life. How does a person get this gift? Jesus said to her, if you ask, I would give you living water. It's offered by God right now, available to whosoever. Whosoever believes in Him has everlasting life. Comes by faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This gift that Jesus offered demonstrates His love. and his compassion to a broken world. You know, when Jesus went through Samaria, he knew exactly who he was going to see that day. He knew exactly her whole life, her past, everything about her, and he knew that he was going to give her eternal life. How can Jesus give eternal life? I think you all know the answer to that question. He took upon himself our sins. He humbled himself. He's God Almighty, came into the world, took upon himself a man. As we heard this morning, condemned sin in the flesh, went to the cross, bore our sins in his own body, died as our substitute, came to redeem us, pay the price in his own blood for our sin. I read Isaiah 53 this morning before coming to the breaking of bread, and I love this version. He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment for our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we're healed. It is so awesome. If you're sitting here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have eternal life. Rejoice in it. Celebrate it. Share it. It's awesome to know him. I want to speak a little bit about the greatest thirst. In verse 13, this woman is not understanding the things of the Spirit because they're foolishness to her. She's natural. And Jesus is talking about the spirit world. And she says, how are you going to draw water? The well is deep. You don't have a bucket. You got nothing to draw this water with. And Jesus is saying, listen, I'm not talking about this water. Everyone who drinks, continuously drinks of this water, will thirst again. The greatest thirst. You know, there's a craving that every one of us have in our souls. And it doesn't change when you get saved. You still got that old nature. This is the sinful nature. This is the flesh that attacks us. And there's a craving for pleasure and sin. And it's the greatest thirst that a soul has. It's lust, it's lies, it's the pride of life. 1 John 2 and 16. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father. It's of the world. Folks, we have a carnal nature. It's in our nature to crave the things of the world. But they never satisfy. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love and life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. You know, I've often thought of this as the thirst of the curse. There's a curse of sin, that evil nature. And the world is seeking satisfaction. There's only one that can satisfy. It's Jesus Christ. And until you come to know him as your personal Savior and place your personal faith in him, you'll never be satisfied. But if you know him, your soul is satisfied. You have the joy of the Lord. You have a new life. Your spirit has been awakened. You have a relationship with God. And that is the best thing that anyone could have. You know, before this woman came to experience eternal life, Jesus had to ask her a question. He said, you want this water? She said, sir, give me this water. I want this water. Go call your husband. Go call my husband. I am sure that question, these few words, pierced her very heart and conscience because she wanted to cover it up. I don't have a husband. Yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband. The one that you live with now is not your husband. You've had five. Wow. Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. You know, there is guilt that every one of us have because of our past. Human nature is that we will commit sin. We will fall short of the glory and standard of God. We will break God's law. It is in our heart. It is in our bend. That's who we are. But it's so awesome the way Jesus deals with this. He's not hard. He's soft. He's real. And he looks into her eyes and he knows everything about her. And he says, I want to give you everlasting life. This woman, I am sure, is convicted about her past. Jesus is able to take away the past, to remove the guilt, to give you a clean slate. It's gone. All the guilt of the past can be removed because Jesus shed his precious blood. He bore in his own body our sins. And now he brings us into the grace of the present. Oh, I love grace. I love grace because I've experienced it and I don't deserve it. People will say, how are you? I'm better than I deserve. I'm saved by the grace of God. My sins are forgiven. I have a relationship with God. I have everlasting life. And so do you. Rejoice in that. How did it happen? The woman wants to change the subject. It's uncomfortable for her. And so she says, we worship here. You guys worship in Jerusalem. Where do you say the place of worship is? I know that when Messiah comes, he's going to be able to tell us all things. And Jesus said, I that speak unto you am he. Messiah has come. The Christ of God, the anointed one, he has come to this earth to die for sinners. Praise God. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I am come that you might have life, abundant life. Do you know what's so awesome? It's to go sit down beside a drug addict or a prostitute or a homeless man that's eating out of a garbage can. And say to him, did you know that Jesus came that you might have life, abundant life? I spoke to a drug addict a couple weeks ago, and he said to me, what's that word, abundant? What does that mean? I gave him a John's gospel, and I started to read to him from John chapter 10, and he said, my whole life I've experienced the thief and the robber. I've been beat up. I've been stolen from. I'm destitute. And you say I could have abundant life? Folks, this is what Jesus does. He comes into the world to give us abundant life, rich, meaningful, spiritual life with God, a relationship. And he says to this woman, do you want this living water? She's absolutely dumbfounded. Do you know what she does? She drops her bucket and she runs into the city and she says to the men, you will never believe this. Come see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And they said, what? We got to go see this. So they go out, and he tells them the gospel. And many, many, many souls in that city believed on him. Not only is he one who is able to give grace, he's able to give grace to you today. I don't know anything about your life. Don't know who you are. I would say 95% of the people in this audience, I don't know. But I will tell you this. If there's somebody that's looking for grace, forgiveness of sins, compassion, if you want the past, the guilt of your life to be removed, come to Jesus. He's able. He's ready. He's willing to forgive. This man receives sinners. He has power on earth to forgive sins. And he says to the woman, he says, I'll give you eternal life. Did you know that Jesus is the giver of salvation? When Messiah has come, he has come. And he is full of grace and truth. You know that the law kills. condemns, makes us feel awful and guilty. Because if I stack up my life against the laws of God, failed, 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 failed. And religion is empty. It's vain. The Pharisees couldn't do anything to take guilt away. No, no, they condemned people. They judged people. Jesus came to give grace. John 1 and 17, the law came by Moses, but grace, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ in perfect balance. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. This woman is completely in awe of Jesus Christ, and she says, come, come guys, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And you know what they said? We've heard him ourselves. And it's not just for your word. We know. He is the Christ, the Savior of the world. Did you know that every one of us in this company today that have believed on Jesus Christ, we have the witness in ourselves. We don't need to hear it from anyone else. 1 John says that he that believes has the witness in himself. We know that our sins are forgiven. We know that he is our Savior. We know him. And everybody's personal testimony is different. I can't take your personal testimony and apply it to me, and you can't take mine. But these people said, no, we know for ourselves. He indeed is the Savior of the world. So as I wrap this up today, I want to give you some takeaway points. For many, many, many years of my life, I was going to church, functioning inside the four walls of a building, and I never shared my faith. Just didn't think about it. I don't know what most of you think, but I thought if somebody wants to know what I believe, they'll ask me. You could wait 18 months, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. People might not ask you. But I think what I get here is Jesus lived with purpose. He lived intentional. He engaged people in discussions, and he shared the gospel. So the takeaway today is, could I just encourage every one of you? And you know what? Especially you young people. You guys are so influential. Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, that's probably for people over 60. You know, sharing your faith, okay? This is where this life is all about. It's living purposeful lives. Be intentional. Share your faith. Be intentional as you go through Samaria. Engage souls in discussion about the gospel. And here's the other thing. Rejoice in the gift of God. Have the joy of the Lord in your soul every day. Get up in the morning and say, thank God, I'm saved. My sins are forgiven. I've got this awesome relationship with God, and I want to share it with the world. Rejoice in the gift of God. Enjoy it and share it with others. And so as we wrap this up, I just appreciate being here today, and hope that this week will be a real profitable week. I love the fact that I have the opportunity to talk to a bunch of kids and inspire them and share the word with them and make them think about the rest of their lives. I'm going to be taking up the subject of choices and where choices lead to. And I'm going to be dealing with the choices and consequences of many characters in the Bible in their lives, the choices that they made and where they led to. And my hope and prayer is that these young people would think about decisions and choices that they're making right now in their life, and hopefully they'll make the right ones. And so I value your prayers, and I thank you for being here today, and just let's close in a word of prayer. Thanks. Father, we thank you again for this time that we've had together to open the Word of God. Lord, we rejoice in the gift of God. We are so grateful for eternal life and knowing your Son, that he is the true God who came into the world and died for our sin and rose again. And Lord, we thank you that we are justified. He was delivered up for our offenses, but he was raised for our justification. And we have the joy of being able to share our faith. I just pray that you would encourage each one of us as we go out this week and for the rest of our lives to share the gospel and be a witness and a testimony for you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus. Pray your rich blessing upon all the activities of this week. And we just commit us to you in his own worthy and precious name. Amen.